Our third speaker, Dr. Jennifer Ibrahim, has brought Healthy People 2020 to life in the classroom, creating 18 modules that can be used individually to supplement an existing course or combined to create a standalone course for undergraduate, graduate, and/or professional students. Topics addressed include substance abuse, tobacco, preparedness, and obesity, among other areas. Dr. Ibrahim will explain how the modules were produced in a collaborative effort by faculty from CEPH-accredited schools and programs and public health practitioners from across Philadelphia. Let's welcome Dr. Ibrahim to the podium.
It's kind of like seeing all the rest of the room now from behind the podium. So I'm really excited to be here and share the story, not only to show you what we've created and the fact that this could be a really useful tool, but also to talk a little bit about the process that we went through. And just a quick show of hands, how many of you are in an area where there are multiple schools or programs of public health that are serving the same region? Raise your hands. Okay. So this will be helpful for everybody about how it's possible to break down some of those institutional silos and to do some really fun collaborative work together. And before we start, I just want to acknowledge my partner in crime, Jessica Boyer, who is here in the front row. This was, like I said, it was a lot of fun, and to say partner in crime is an understatement. So we have no disclosures, no financial issues to address. But the first thing, I would like to acknowledge the Association for Prevention, Teaching, and Research were the ones that released the initial call for proposals to put this together with funding from the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion at DHHS. And they were fabulous collaborators. The guidance all along the way was really wonderful. So what I'm going to talk to you about today is Healthy People 2020 and the idea of bringing Healthy People 2020 to life across the educational spectrum, ranging from undergraduate students through professionals. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Healthy People 2020 modules, how we went through this process. I'm going to talk about some of the overarching goals, what we were trying to accomplish, talk a little bit about the data and the way that we tried to emphasize the use of data in Healthy People 2020, saying that part of the issue with Healthy People 2020, it's an evaluation framework and how to bring that back into the classroom. And then I'll walk through some of the modules and talk about what's there and how you can be using it. So this is a quick snapshot, and it'd be much better if I could be online and show you interactively, but I would encourage you, there's the URL down at the bottom, but if you just Google public health learning modules, this will come up. It's a free resource. All the materials that are up there, the videos, the instructor guide, the questions for assessment, the activities, the discussion questions, everything up there is free and readily accessible. So this is just one snapshot. There's a total of 18 modules, but this is just to give you a sense of sort of the scope of the different topic areas that we were covering, and I'll show you the full listing in just a minute. So I'll tell you a quick story. So January 2013, Jessica and I worked together at Temple University, and we were sitting there and we saw this call for proposals that was due in 2 weeks. Sure, we can do that. So we started tossing ideas back and forth, and so we wrote up a proposal that we said, this is pie in the sky, there's no way it's going to get funded, but it seems like a lot of fun, let's submit it. So we submitted it, and a week later, we get the email saying, congratulations, you've been funded, at which point we went, oh my God, what are we going to do? And so we found out in February, and these modules that we proposed, and initially we proposed, I believe it was 12, 13 of them, needed to be done by the end of August. This is February, by the end of August. We were like, no problem. Came up with a timeline. This is great. We can do this. Again, pie in the sky. But we convinced each other that this was a great idea. We went through and we said, okay, so, you know, one of the main things the APTR wanted was to be able to highlight not only the importance of Healthy People 2020, but to make people more aware of Healthy People 2020. A lot of times we talk about Healthy People 2020 in a very abstract way, but actually being able to say, I understand what Healthy People 2020 is. I know how to use it as a resource. I understand what's contained therein. in the process of making people aware, instead of just talking about it as a document on a web page, we really wanted to bring it to life and to show the folks that we're going to be viewing these modules, people are using Healthy People 2020, either indirectly or directly, where they were actually referencing particular goals. And it wasn't just a matter of there's a funding source that says I have to change, you know, I need to move the needle on this particular metric. People are doing it in a very organic kind of fashion. And then the last piece, given that we're in an academic setting, it was really important to have the evidence base for what we're doing. So being able to talk about the data that exists out there as a way to measure progress towards these various Healthy People 2020 goals. So we know there have been just a ton of major accomplishments. That, you know, a lot of folks are aware of the article, The 10 Greatest Public Health Achievements in the 20th Century. You can go through and look. Public health is everywhere, and that was really one of the big challenges is what are we going to tackle in these 13 modules, because there's just an avalanche of what we might be able to do. And so we really started looking locally in Philadelphia, what are the issues that are seminal for us? And being in Philadelphia where there's an, I apologize if I miss a school, there's Temple, there's Drexel, there's University of the Sciences, there's Thomas Jefferson University, there's Arcadia, there's Westchester, and I can go on and on. There are a lot of us, and so what are some of the resources that we can bring collectively together to talk about some of the achievements that we've seen specifically in the context of Healthy People 2020? And so that was really a key piece for us. How do we draw on the expertise that we have here in Philadelphia? And I've had the good fortune to co-teach with faculty at Drexel, University of Pennsylvania, I missed them in the list, very informally, but I can speak from Temple that we were in a very rigid framework. You don't go outside your own. We do what we do inside our house, and it's nice to go to meetings and stuff, but in terms of that interdisciplinary stuff, moving across institutional boundaries, we don't do that. We live in our silo. And as we started talking to our colleagues on the ground, teaching, doing field work, practitioners that we've worked with in the city of Philadelphia, there was a lot of interest, and it made sense. Like, why wouldn't we do this? Expertise that Temple might not have, there's somebody at the University of Pennsylvania that has that expertise, or at Children's Hospital, or lots of different examples. And so we started reaching out to the folks that we have connections with through our network, saying, what do you think? How, do you want to get on board? And without a doubt, everyone that we talked to said, yes, what do you need from me? How do I get involved? So once we realized that we had support from folks, that they wanted to get involved, they were excited, we started thinking about what is the best way to deliver these online learning modules. One of the things that we were interested in was making sure that this was something that was readily accessible to anyone interested in public health. The whole reason for it being online as opposed to it just living on someone's hard drive someplace, or as Donna was saying, it just being a piece of paper, the web is the way to go. So we were thinking about it in terms of competency-based education. If we're going to present this material, how does it line up with the competencies and the skills that we expect public health students to have? We wanted it to be interdisciplinary. One of my big frustrations is when you see a public health curriculum that is very public health and it's not reflective of what's going on in the real world. I'm pretty sure nobody in this room can say that you only work with people that have MPHs. There's social workers, there's MDs, there's dentists, there's nurses, there's psychologists. We work in a highly interdisciplinary field of practice, and so it was really important that what we were putting forward in these online learning modules was reflective of what the real world looked like. We wanted to make sure that the students in viewing this would be ready for public health practice, and so a key piece for us was bringing in public health practitioners to speak in these modules and give demonstrations of what's actually going on. And then to talk a little bit about the tools that would prepare these students. So not just content areas, but giving them some tools, some skills that they can pull from this educational experience. We wanted to take on the world and think about making this useful for a whole wide range of students. Seeing in the article that just came out earlier this week with regards to the growth of BS programs, we wanted to make sure that we were preparing modules that would speak to undergraduates, through graduate students. We wanted this to be something that was available for various professions for continuing education. We wanted health practitioners, public health practitioners, to have a resource to go to draw. Not necessarily that I'm going to go through all the modules, but if I have a new issue come up to deal with, is there a quick resource I can go and click on to get up to speed on a particular area to reorient myself to the Healthy People 2020 goals or objectives in that area? And again, making sure that we're being very mindful of the wide spectrum of disciplines and making sure that we were touching on a range of different applications. So at this point, it sounded really great, but it was also, oh my God, how are we going to do all this in 6 months, in 13 modules, and have it all prepackaged and ready to go and make it look awesome? I'm pretty sure one of us has a magic wand because it happened. So one of the things I do want to, and I wanted to list, and it's a little bit, I know the text is a little bit small, but I just wanted to show you the wide scope of presenters that were involved in this project. It was great that we had Carter Blakey from the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, so somebody specifically speaking about Healthy People 2020 and giving that context. Rebecca Hines was talking about some of the data and ways to evaluate what are some of the resources that are currently out there. And then we reached out, as I said, to our colleagues across the Philadelphia area. We wanted to be inclusive. We didn't want to leave any one of the accredited schools and programs of public health in the area out. So we were reaching out to lots of different people, trying to match topic areas that we wanted to address with the appropriate expertise. So the final list was sort of a back and forth to see, okay, do you want to participate? What's the right topic? We want this topic. And that's how we went back and forth to get to this full list. And here's the rest of the folks that were participating. In that first year, we did 13 modules, and I'll talk a little bit about the topics in a minute, but at the end of the first year, we had some partners, including some of the oral health practitioners from New York University, who said, well, this is really great, but you left off this and this and this and this. And we said, okay, so you're right, and we know there's a ton of stuff that we left off. I mean, these modules could be a series of 100, not just the 13 that we originally put out. And so they were very interested in having an oral health module, and that's how in September of 2013, there were four more modules that we decided to add to the mix. In addition to the presenters that I have listed here, we also had a fabulous National Advisory Committee, and I realize that I dropped the slide off here, but I want to make sure to acknowledge the National Advisory Committee that was working with us, which included nurses, psychologists, dentists, MDs, social workers, just a very wide mix of folks, pharmacists. Who else am I missing? Osteopathy. So we had a wide range of folks that were telling us these are the competing demands. If you want our professions to be using these modules, these are the things that you need to be thinking about. So a lot of the modules, we were addressing a particular topic, but we tried to come at it from multiple angles to try to give all of these different audiences something that they would latch on. And it became a mix of something that the discipline could latch on to and something that they could learn new from a different professional perspective. So some of the things that were important to us in terms of bringing Healthy People 2020 to life, we wanted to think about across the 42 different areas and hundreds of objectives, what are some of the issues that we can touch on that are classic, things that are still a problem today, but they've evolved over the course of time, so that students or any of the viewers, and I'm using students in a generic sense of anyone who's viewing these modules, what are some of the things that they could see how public health has made strides over the course of time, and what are some of the problems that we still face? Each of the modules went through and talked about the basic elements of the topic. So if you weren't well-versed in a particular content area, if oral health is not at the forefront of your mind, it would go through and give you some basic contextual information. We wanted to use these case studies, so part of the module would talk about, give you the background information, and then have a case study where you can actually see what we're talking about in practice. Instead of it just being academic hot air, saying, well, here's how it could work, we use case studies to actually show here's how it actually works, and here are some of the issues that you may run into. And then again, this reoccurring theme of being able to use data. that idea of the data was to be able to pull in the researchers and some of the academic folks, but also to address the use of data in a way that we could talk about translation and dissemination as a way to start conversation between academics and practitioners so that there is a back and forth. And evaluation isn't just an academic exercise. We're actually doing evaluation that is meaningful and that we have public health practitioners engaged in the process and driving that process to say this is the information we need. So here's an overview of the different topic areas that we address. And these are, in addition to the ones you'll see listed, we had an introduction and we had a conclusion module as well. And what's a little bit funny, when you look at the modules online, you'll see the conclusion module is just a bullseye. And that's sort of the potentially to be continued. As I said, there are many more topic areas that could be addressed. And some of what I would hope that you take away if you go to this website is to look and see that it was a lot of work, and I don't want Jess to throw anything at me, but it actually wasn't really that difficult to create these. So if you get buy-in from folks who have the content expertise, it really wasn't that difficult to grab a video camera and have the audio and the video going and have somebody share their expertise in a way that is very, I won't say 10,000 foot, it was about 5,000 foot level. So you were getting some of the breadth and the depth, but it opened, and I'll share some of the evaluation at the end, it opened a lot of folks' eyes towards a different way to think about these issues, and it brought Healthy People 2020 to the forefront. So we talk about legal infrastructure, we talk about the social determinants of health. That was a really neat one because one of our colleagues, Carolyn Canuzio at the University of Pennsylvania, does this really neat project on visual epidemiology, and she brought some of that in there. Some of the more traditional topics in public health, emergency preparedness, tobacco, substance use. Mental health was one of the modules that we added in the second year. Access to health service, healthcare acquired infections. And you can see the rest of the list here. And within each of these modules, let me jump forward for just a second. Within each of these modules, this is what was included. And so there's a basic paragraph that articulates what were the objectives for that particular modular. And then we broke out the lecture material so that we didn't want someone to have to sit through an hour and a half of content if that's not what they were interested in. So we broke each of the modules down into four parts. So no section of the module is more than about 15 to 20 minutes. So that way it's easier for you to go back and search really quickly, find what you want instead of getting bogged down in the whole video. Within each of the segments, there's a video, there's a transcript, and then there's the slides. So the first time you see this, you might want to watch the video. If you're coming back a second time, you might want to just look at the slides as a reference point. So we tried to make it as easily accessible as possible. In addition, there are additional resources that are available. So it could be additional reading materials. It could be any form of content, websites, any other material. So if somebody is particularly interested in this topic, we give them a direction to continue to pursue this area. We provided discussion questions, and those discussion questions to tailor to the different level audiences that we had. For undergraduates, they were more straightforward multiple choice type questions, a bank of between 10 and 12 multiple choice type questions. For graduate students, they were more synthesis and discussion type questions, where it was much more engagement. They might have to write short responses or essays, and then similar moving into professional education. And then it's cut off a little bit down here at the bottom, but there was also an instructor guide. So if you chose to use this in your course, here's the guide that tells you how we put this all together, what are some of the ways that you can be using this, and how to either use pieces of it in a class or use the entire thing. Some of the additional materials, as I mentioned, the student assessment pieces, the recommended readings, and then supplemental materials. And this is what every module has, one of these instructor guides that goes along with the module. So what we had envisioned in terms of using these is you can use any one, I'm going to flip back, you could use this whole module in your course, or you could use a segment. So you could pull out one piece of this. So I'll jump to the legal infrastructure. My colleague Scott Burris talked about legal infrastructure and the way that factors into public health practice. you might be teaching a healthcare infrastructure course where law is one piece of that. Maybe that's not your forte. Maybe you can't get a guest speaker. Maybe you just want the students to see somebody different. And so it's possible to pull out that one segment of video and use it in your class. Or in the flip the class mentality, have students view that segment in advance, and that way you've got fuel for discussion when the students come into class. So you could either use this whole module, or you could use individual videos. In addition, it's also possible to use all 18 modules if you wanted to use this for some type of training as a supplement. That's the flexibility, is these are truly modular in the sense that you can pull them in and out and use the pieces as you wish. I'm a step ahead of myself on each of the slides. And again, one of the things that we've seen with the evaluations is we're seeing a lot of practitioners using these, saying that they needed to brush up on a particular topic area, and this was a great way to brush up on the topic, but also to reorient themselves to the Healthy People 2020 goals. Each one of the modules starts out identifying which goals are going to be addressed in this module, and talking about some specific objectives. So that was a really nice piece as well. It can be overwhelming to tackle Healthy People 2020 as a whole, even if you got down to one particular topic. If you look at tobacco, that's enormous. So this was also being something that's useful to digest the issue a little bit for you. Generally, we're seeing that people are happy with it. As I said, this is just early feedback. We've only received a handful, now that we've got the evaluation piece up there, we've only received a handful of comments, but I would strongly encourage you to be able to go and use this as a piece of a supplement to your class, or even if it's just a brush up for students in your class. Okay, and I made it to the end. I'm getting the hook. Any quick questions? It is. Mm-hmm. Yep. One more in the back. Oh, I'm sorry.
My name's Reg Baker.
Okay. One more quick one. It looks really quick.
Sorry, I'm Hannah from Washington University. And while people commit to contributing, do people also commit to utilizing them as their own petition?
We didn't have a formal commitment process. I know folks have been using them because we keep getting a lot of questions. How do I cite them? Who's got the intellectual property? So people didn't have to commit to using them. It was more just putting it out there. A number of people on our advisory panel have also sent it out. So that's one thing that's a little bit difficult, is trying to get a good handle on who's using it.